We had a little change last week because we were having communion, and I wanted to talk about what Jesus had done for us on the cross. So we're back again now in chapter 9 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 9 of Revelation. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that God allowed this writing to be recorded and then be printed in all of the Bibles. Everybody's Bible's got this in it. Praise the Lord. And I'm thankful to the Lord for that. You know, the scripture says that the Word of God is given to us so that we can understand it. That's the power of the Spirit is going to show us and understand. So in this place where we've been talking, we are going to see some more of the judgment that's going to come on the earth. First of all, let's just ask the Lord to bless this message and give us understanding by the Word of God. Father, we come before you and praise you that you are the faithful Lord and that this is your Word. And you are honored when we bring your Word, Father, and listen to your Word today, Father. How important it is for us to understand the Word of God. We ask you to help us today, Father God, to be able to explain this fully, Father, so that people will understand. Glory to God. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I know that many of us, you know, have had the Word of God taught to them way, way back when we were little kids, and that was my case. But I know that the Lord is able to just help all of us to understand what's being spoken. Praise the Lord. In chapters 8 and 9, chapter 8 we began with, and it said there that, as it says in verse 2, notice it says, I saw the seven angels which stood before God. To them were given seven trumpets, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints with the golden altar. Now this angel that's standing in front of the altar is, the word angel is used loosely in this book. And it actually just means a minister or something like that. It's not necessarily saying that it is an angel with flapping wings, okay? So we believe that this second angel there in verse 2, or verse 3, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the judgments begin to take place in these seven trumpets that are to sound. And the angels of God, the ministers of God, there in that first verse, the seals were open. And verse 2, I saw the seven messengers, we could say, which stood before God. To them were given seven trumpets. And so these messengers are going to come out into the world during that tribulation time. Some of us have had teaching for years, but I want to know, I just want to explain it. The 7 years are tribulation time that is going to come upon the world. That's what Revelation is mostly about, is the 7 years of tribulation. And so it's really important for us to know this because, praise the Lord, we're going to have the opportunity to be taken away from this world before the tribulation ever starts. If we really have known Jesus as our Savior and we're walking in the Spirit, watching for Jesus to come. A little bit later on, we had our lesson where we saw the great innumerable company in chapter 7 had gone up to be with the Lord, and they had their place there in heaven. Later on, we're going to see the 144,000 Jews that are going to go up to heaven. But right now, we're talking about what is taking place during that 7 years. Beginning at the first of this, these different trumpet sounds are going to take place. And you can read down through here at home or something and just see the things that are going to happen. So we're going to begin in chapter 9. As I said, there are seven judgment trumpets which will sound. And when those trumpets sound, then things are going to begin to happen and take place in this earth. In the 7 years of tribulation, at this point that we're reading about here, all who were saved are in heaven. All who were saved during this church age have all been taken to heaven except 144,000. I should make that exception. So they will be taken to heaven. So before the tribulation starts in heaven with Jesus at this point in our scripture, we're talking about those people who are left. Now, I want to make this clear, too, that during the tribulation, there are going to be people who believe in Jesus Christ, and they will be earth dwellers. They will live on the earth. They will go through the tribulation. Many of them will die deaths of martyrs. They will be martyred for Christ, and they will go through the tribulation and be earth dwellers right here on this earth. And the millennial reign, which is the 1,000-year reign of Christ, will begin after this tribulation time ends, and Jesus will be reigning on the throne, and he will have earthly people, and he will have heavenly people. And the scripture says he will come down upon the earth and minister to the people here in the earth, and maybe we will be with him in that group that come down with him. Praise the Lord. Let's look in verse 13 of chapter 8 because it actually goes with chapter 9. If you'll read with me there, and you don't have to read out loud, but just read along. And I beheld and heard an angel, and this word, of course, means messenger in the Greek, flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound." So he's saying there's woe, woe, woe. He's not telling a horse to woe. He's saying that there's going to be great judgment coming upon the earth from that point. So it's going to be a horrendous time. And thank God we have been redeemed. We are saved and will not be here at this point. Let's go ahead and read verse 1 of chapter 9. And the fifth angel, see, there are seven of these beings that are bringing forth this judgment. The fifth angel or the fifth messenger sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit. And then arose, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Remember that John is seeing these visions. He's seeing what's taking place, okay? And so it's interesting that God is going to let Satan come down and open the bottomless pit. But he's the instigator of all hateful things, isn't he? All mean things? Yes, he is. So he's going to draw forth these angelic beings that are being held there in that prison that will come forth and bring on all this judgment. I'm glad he didn't ask us to do that. We'll be in heaven, but he didn't ask us to come forth and start punishing the people of the earth. But he allowed satanic powers to come forth in this time. And remember how terrible the tribulation is going to be. The Christians that are left here on the earth that become born again and their ministers be ministering the word, many, many of them are going to be headed for Christ. And so the bottomless pit is the place we find in chapter 20 that Satan is going to be cast one of these days. He's going to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone for 1,000 years and held there until after the millennial reign, where God will judge him and cast him into the bottomless, not the bottomless pit, but the lake of fire for eternity. So this bottomless pit is where some of the angels, we have record of it in another text. It says in 2 Peter 2:4, it says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." And so remember that Satan, the Old Testament tells us this. I think the 14th chapter of Isaiah, and it's also recorded in Ezekiel, that Satan tried to ascend up above God, and that a third part of the angels went with him to do this. They just went against God who had created them and tried to cast God down. And the Lord God smote those angelic beings that were with him and threw them into this place called the abyss. or this bottomless pit. They have been there then now for a long time, haven't they? But there's going to be, of course, he has other imps that are around all the time. I think everybody here has had the experience of the enemy trying to whisper to us something for us to be afraid of. You know, like at night when you're there by yourself and this voice says, someone might break in here. Or, you know, it's dangerous here. You know, the Holy Spirit can speak, it's dangerous here for us to get out of the way of something. But we know that there is satanic demons in the world today that are under Satan's control. God has allowed this. He will try to defeat the people of God. But those that were in that bottomless pit will be brought out of there to help bring on this judgment. And so the judgment of he says he opened the bottomless pit and there rose smoke out of the pit, smoke as of a great furnace. Well, what do we find out about hell? It's hot. The rich man in Jesus' time, he told a story about the rich man who had gone into hell. And he said, could you please get Lazarus, this poor beggar man that was at his gate all the time, that was with God. He said, can you send him down here to give me a drink of water because I'm hot. My mother used to say that poem and it'd say, it's hot and hot as can be. So there, those angelic beings, and we know that it's going to happen, that the people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior will have to go to this terrible place. It's called hell. And so, in verse 3, there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. This is how it looked to John. If you could imagine John's position, he had never seen an airplane. He had never seen, you know, a lot of things that we have seen. So we don't know if this is literally locusts or if it's not literally locusts. But to him, it looked like some kind of flying being, a locust, and came right out of that place. And notice verse 3, and to them was given power of as the scorpions of the earth have power. So scorpions go around stinging people, and whatever these things are, they're devilish, and they are going to torment people on this earth in a terrible way, whether it's literally the scorpion stings or whether it was just constant battering them and talking mean things to them and hurting them. And he will, in these demons and Satan himself, will empower the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to kill the Christians, and the scripture says behead them. And so it's going to be a horrible time. Notice in verse 4, it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. He calls them men, and yet he is saying the grass of the earth, the green things, that they're not going to hurt the trees. So these are significant, these different statements here. The grass, they're all green things, aren't they? The grass speaks of the people that are believers. The green things, they have life, don't they? So any believers there, this group of demonic powers are not going to be able to run or touch the believers. Now, the Antichrist will do that. We don't know exactly when all these things will take place. But they couldn't hurt the grass or any green thing, which speaks of life. No doubt this is literal, but also the people that are believers. The grass itself may be burned up on the earth, but it also represents the people who are believers here on the earth at that time. So then we see the earth. The earth in the scripture always represents the Jewish people. So these demonic powers that are released will not be able to hurt the Jewish people, Israelitish people. Or it says any green thing. So God's divine creation of those people that believe in him, they're going to be protected by God for a while until the Antichrist comes, and then they're going to, a lot of them, be beheaded, all right? In Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." So there are these demonic spirits that are kept there right now, and they will be released to go forth and do a bunch of damage to people of the earth. All right, let's read verse 5. "And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man." So the people of the earth who are following the Antichrist, who are doing the bidding of the devil, they are the ones that are going to be tormented with these different kinds of whatever they are, whether it's an illness or plagues of something on their skin or whatever it is. It's going to be really bad, and it's going to hurt so bad that those people will be just tormented with it. In 6, it says, "In those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, but death shall flee from them." So God is going to keep them alive long enough to really be tormented because of their unbelief in Christ and their following the Antichrist. So it's a serious time. I'm going to say it again. You and I will not be here. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's a great thing. Praise the Lord. A lot of people have things really mixed up in the scripture, and that's why they will preach something like that. All right, verse 7. "And the shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. On their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sounds of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle." Like I said, John had never seen an airplane, never seen a rocket, never saw anything like that in his day. But when he describes what he's seeing, he likens it to things that he knows. And we don't know what it's going to be. It may literally be demons that look like locusts that have crowns of gold and all this stuff that he mentions here. They seem to have hair. Now, what that was, I don't know if it was not literal. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions, so something that they could really destruct with. But John saw this, and so he talks about it. He brings it to us so that we know of some things that are going to happen in the end time. Verse 9. "They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle." So there was a roar sound. And they were used to seeing chariots driven. And this noise of the chariot wheels, thousands of chariot wheels running. There was something, like a motor or something running, that he could hear these noises as it was coming forth. As lots of horses. Well, if it is some kind of mechanism that Satan will be controlling and that his imps will be controlling, whatever it is, it'll make a lot of noise. No, one way or the other, it's going to make a lot of noise. So the unbelievers of this time are going to suffer greatly, as we read back there in that verse, in verse 6, that they would seek death, and they shall not find it. The Lord will say, "No, not your time yet. You're not going to die." And so he would keep them alive to go through more of the tribulation. As we had one verse back here, see if I can see it. Anyway, it said, told the duration of the time. And if you multiply that time out by 30, the number 30, it's in the verse 5. Tormented, they would be tormented 5 months. If you multiply it, in Israel, they have 30-day months, okay? So you take this this 5 months, and you multiply it times 30, it comes out to 150 days. So this will be happening on the earth for about 150 days. This is only part of the judgment. We read on, we're going to see there's more judgment yet to come. And so God will, we know his promises. He promises that he will take care of his people and shield them from things. All right, so we're going to begin reading now again with verse 10. They had tails like to scorpions. There were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months or for 150 days. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. Who do you think the king is over these demons? Tell me. Satan. Satan's the king over the demons. Yes, he's the angel of the bottomless pit. One day he's going to be thrown in there. That's chapter 20, verse 1. The Lord, 1 or 2. The Lord's going to cast him into that pit that he got these old demons, all of his friends in there. Now, the word Abaddon is a Hebrew word, and it means destroyer. Satan has come to destroy whatever God has done. That's he right there in the Garden of Eden. He tried it. He was going to just make an end to mankind by their disobedience. He's threatened. He said, oh, you can eat of this tree. It's not going to hurt you. You're going to have greater knowledge after this. A deceitful, devilish voice. And so that's why his name by God, God is named, he is a destroyer. He destroys the things of God when he has power. Praise the Lord that God is watching over us. Many times we could have died in accidents and things that we've had, and God was there. He doesn't let the destroyer touch us unless he has some good purpose. Sometimes we get tried by the enemy. But notice as it says there in the Greek tongue, it's Apollyon, and that means exactly the same thing. It's another name for him, but he's the destroyer. He's the enemy of the human race. And then he says, one woe is past, and behold, there are two woes more hereafter. And it's funny that he says two woes. He'd set up above in a place that there were three woes. And verse 13 of chapter 8, he says that the angel spoke with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. So there was these words, woe, just means terrible grief. Terrible grief is going to happen in this world when Satan is in control. God is going to allow Satan to judge people, be on the scene, and do these bad things. I thought it was kind of neat that God's angels didn't do it. God, these enemies of God will be gladly doing the meanness. In verse 13, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Now, I just want to dwell on that a little bit. When God told Moses back in the Old Testament to build the tabernacle, everything that he made back there was because God showed him how to do it from heaven. I think he probably had visions because he knew exactly what God said to do. You are to do this. You are to build this Ark of the Covenant. You are to make it of gold. You are on top of it, have two angels, two cherubim, and their wings will cut. This thing will be in the Holy of Holies. You know, all the instructions. And so, this golden altar that's mentioned there in verse 13, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. So the Lord God, and I believe it's Lord Jesus at this time, because he's taking his rightful place as the ruler. And he speaks out then in verse 14, saying, the sixth angel which had the trumpet, to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, in chapter 7:1, we saw these beings. Let's go back to chapter 7:1. And it says there, after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in the forehead. So these beings were told not to hurt the earth and all the kinds of things on it. But at this point, they are called forth to go ahead and do judgment on the earth. Notice in verse 14, it's saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Reference back to 7:1 and through about 3. The four angels were loosed which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. So God had held them there and preparing them to go forth, and they would actually slay a third part of the earth. It's changed over time, you know, but it's probably about 2.5 billion people that will be slain at this time in this horrible time of tribulation. Again, I say to all of you, we will not be here, okay? All right, going to verse 16. The number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. That's 200 million, 200,000. Maybe you can figure out something else, but it looked like to me it was 200 million. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone. See, they've come out of the hell place, actually. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And I have a little note in my Bible that it may be atomic power. It may be that they will, you know, instigate wicked men to just really do damage to the earth by using atomic power. By these three was a third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths, out of the mouths of these demonic creatures. And their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were likened to serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. You know, like I said, John had never seen an airplane or a rocket or anything like that. So we don't know if he was actually trying to describe something that he saw, and maybe it was a weapon of warfare like that. And so, anyway, verse 19, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and they had heads with them that do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed of these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons or devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. So God is going to kill off some of the people of the earth, but there will be some who are not killed, as it says. The rest of the people will not be killed of these plagues. So as he's talked all the way from chapter 8 through, as we've read, the different things that he's going to allow to happen, it's going to be a pretty bad thing. And where it says there, yet repented of the works of their hands, the rest of the men which were not killed of their plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, they didn't have any desire to change what they were doing. It's just like the world today. Many, many people are preached salvation today, told about how to be redeemed, and yet they'll go right on doing the same old thing, the same old worldliness, the same old wickedness. They follow that instead of repenting. And so there were, it says, the rest of the men which were not killed of these plagues yet repented not. And I looked that up. To repent here means to make a mind change. So a lot of it happens right up here, doesn't it? People will say, oh, well, I'm doing fine. I don't need God. I don't need the Lord. But if they would just say, repent of their deeds and say, Lord God, I realize I'm a sinner, save me. He would immediately deliver them and save them. But they will not repent of their works and their hands, that they should not worship demons. They are worshiping demons. They have gone so far away from God. And idols of gold. This is one thing that the Old Testament scripture absolutely speaks again, that we are not to make any idols of gold or silver or anything and fall down and worship those things. It is against God. God is the only true God. There is no God besides God. Jesus Christ is our Savior, so there is no way that a believer in Christ or even unbelievers should be falling down worshiping idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. There's no power in that idol. That's demonic power. You know, one of these days, Antichrist is going to make an image of him, a big idol. And that idol will be put into the holy place of the temple that will be erected at that time during the tribulation. But God is not pleased with that. God's going to bring judgment upon that Antichrist for doing that. And then verse 21, neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor of their thefts. I think all of us understand about people who murder other people, how that, you know, there's penalties, great penalties. But in our world today, we have a lot of sorcery going on, a lot of worship of demonic things. And it's pitiful. I remember when I was a child and some young people were dealing with Ouija boards and making them walk, you know, the table walk and everything. And of course, my parents would not allow any of us children even to be around those kids that were doing that kind of devilish thing, you know. But they are not going to repent in the end time. Now, some will. I have to back up and say that. But the majority of the people on the earth left are not going to repent of their sorceries, of their murders, of their fornication, nor of their thefts. It'll be a horrible time in the tribulation. Why don't you say with me, praise the Lord that we're not going to be here. Praise the Lord that we're not going to be here. Everybody here is born again. You believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. What a great thing. What a victory. Praise the Lord. And we have the opportunity to be taken to heaven in that first group that are going to be taken out just before the tribulation starts. Praise the Lord. God is so faithful.